Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Tom, Venerable Tom Dorian,
yes, sir.
And I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And we are so happy to be here. Well, I don't know, because I think, well, happy Rapture Day, everybody.
Thank
apparently,
you.
What
are we doing here?
That's a great question. So,
it's a bad sign.
Like, literally before we start the show, Ziggy leans over and goes like, hey, you know, we were supposed to be raptured today. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, I don't know this. Well, first of all, there is no rapture coming. I'm just going to be clear. This Catholic theology, that's not going to happen. But second of all, I didn't know. Apparently, somebody, some pastor somewhere in Africa, somewhere, made some kind of prediction that today is the day of the rapture.
Yes. Well, I mean, yes.
Okay, so
that's what he claimed. Yeah, it was the
so it could actually be
September 23rd.
So yeah. It could actually be happening, and so. But we're gonna press ahead and go ahead. Although Tom is like thinking, I'm gonna go flex that credit card while I can.
I'm gonna go find a new car.
Yeah, but the bad news though is if the rapture did happen, right? If it did happen, and we're still here,
that's not a bad sign,
right? That's not necessarily a good thing. So we'll keep you posted on that. If by the end of the show you don't hear us anymore, it's because the rapture happened. But again, I need to say this. There's not going to be a rapture.
Yeah.
Folks, just let's be clear. That's an errant understanding of Scripture.
That could be a show.
It's like 200 years old. It's not Catholic theology.
Exactly, yes. Right.
It should be a show.
But you know what? Let's just have a little fun, though. That's part of our that's part of our thing here at the Catholic Cafe.
Yeah.
That and donuts.
Yeah. So let's go from that to the show topic, which is not fun. And we're going to talk about long suffering.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about just suffering. We've done many shows on redemptive suffering. We've talked about the concept of suffering. We've talked about laying our suffering at the foot of the cross and uniting our suffering with the suffering of Jesus to have meaning and purpose in suffering so that suffering gets utilized in a redemptive way in our life. And all those things are still true. But Ziggy here called me at one point and said, you know, we ought to do a show on long suffering. I said, I've heard that phrase because I've used it before, like, this is long suffering, meaning it seems like suffering that kind of sticks.
Yeah.
Right? Because we think of suffering and our nature, you know, human nature, we'll just say the animal part of us. You know, if a little bug is going towards a fire, they're going to see the fire and it's like, oh, fire. And they're going to go to the right or left. They're not going to walk into the fire. And they're going to basically try to avert the thing that is either dangerous or uncomfortable or painful, right? They're going to move away from it. And that's the way we do as human animals. We want to move away from the suffering. We don't want to linger in the suffering. And we certainly don't want long suffering. And yet, this exists.
Right, and God really has been instructing my heart over the past week or so related to this. You know, we've talked often about the power of redemptive suffering, and that has been very much intermingled with my understanding of spiritual healing. For those of you who have listened to the show over the years, there's been different times we've talked about, you know, the linkage between the healing that we can experience as Christians and the link between that and our Lord's passion and resurrection, right? You know, where we are dying to our sufferings in union with Christ crucified. We are, you know, if there's somebody who needs to be forgiven, whether it's somebody else or ourselves or God, if we have anger towards God, to say, forgive them, Father, you know, and to just let go of any anger and let go of that desire for control and die to our sufferings, that ultimately, the goal is that ultimately, it comes to fruition in a resurrection, right? That God, he permits the crosses that he permits, not for the sake of the crosses, but for the resurrection, right? And what I realized is that when I, as a result of that, and I stand by all of that as being true, but when that is your exclusive view of looking at suffering, then at that point, it doesn't really speak to long-suffering, because some, you know, because it's a message of healing that's seeking an end to suffering, which is a natural thing for us to do when suffering happens. We want it to be over, but sometimes there are people, they might have a chronic illness or injury. They might have a loved one who's making a decision that is breaking their heart and it's out of their control.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the families, right? Yes. I'm thinking about families that have, you know, this kid or that kid, or you know, a wife struggling with a husband who's an alcoholic or angry or something like that, or vice versa. And it's like, these are not moments that you're desiring to be out of it, right? Yeah. You're desiring to be in a situation where it's not suffering, where, okay, and then you want to be able to talk about suffering in the past tense, right? You don't want to say, I've been suffering for years over this. And you think about Saint Monica, you know, and you think about watching, you know, her son just basically tear his life up.
Right.
And I doubt she said, like, you know, Lord, can you please help him by Tuesday of next week?
Right.
You know, it's just like there is something that helps us to know that some sufferings aren't going to go away quickly.
And sometimes I think it's important for us, if we focus just on bringing an end to suffering, if that's the focus of our prayer, then we're not necessarily allowing ourselves to sit with our pain with Jesus, because that's a part of growing in union with our Lord and his passion. And honestly, and also growing in union with our Heavenly Father, given what you've talked about just now and zeroing in on the family, you know, God gave us free will, and he gave us free will because if he didn't give it to us, we wouldn't be able to love. He is love itself. He created us in his image and likeness. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to become love. Well, freedom and love go hand in hand, right? If he programmed us to love, it wouldn't be love, right? And so in order to give us the opportunity to become love, to become like him, he had to give us freedom, knowing full well how we, in the history of salvation history, of the history of the human family, how you know we both collectively and individually would abuse that freedom. There, anything that was given to us to love is the thing that we're using for the opposite of love all the time, right? And so God has given us that freedom and wills our good regardless, and desires to pour forth blessings upon us to the extent that we're willing to receive him and receive his blessings and receive his grace, and to turn to him with a spirit of gratitude. But ultimately, he's given us the freedom to choose against that, right?
Well, long-suffering, too, that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the exaltation of the cross, which was what we did the last time, which he's asking us to lean into the cross.
Yes.
Same thing, take it on, long-term.
And we don't just, especially as Christians, we don't just get rid of the cross.
Right.
We don't toss it out and say, we don't need this thing anymore. There needs to be a constant reminder. And again, I wouldn't ever will, and you know, I think all of us sitting here in the Catholic Cafe right now have experienced long-term suffering, who have experienced personally things that, like, we wish would go away.
Mm-hmm.
We wish weren't here. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is a great topic, because, you know, when you lose a job, when you have a health setback, whatever, you have a car accident, you don't have whatever, there's all these different things that are going to hit us, but they're going to resolve. I mean, they tend to resolve. And so sometimes that kind of suffering is a lot easier. Suffering is not necessarily, by nature, is not supposed to be easy. But at the end of the day, it's better to know that, like, there's light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
And to your point, Sam, you were just talking about sometimes we end up focusing our prayer on that end of the tunnel, right? Saying, like, hey, Lord, go ahead and take care of this. I'm waiting. I need this to be done with. And that's the focus of our prayer. And you mentioned sort of sitting in your pain and sitting with Jesus to be comforted. And there's something beautiful about that. And my mind, when you said that, instantly went to one of those little reproduction statues, the Pietà, you know, where Mary is holding her dead son, effectively, right? She's holding on to Jesus. And there's something about that, I mean, it just speaks volumes to this long-suffering, the idea that, like,
she can't see a light
at
that point.
Right? Except somehow she does. And I think the way she does Tom is through like the meaning of the suffering.
Right.
Right. And one of the nice things, I don't know how to phrase some of these things because it sounds odd, but one of the positive benefits of long suffering is a constant reminder that you need a savior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you don't have long suffering, if you don't have things that you understand by their very nature are basically not going to go away under your power, then you realize you need a higher power. I mean, this is the basis of all these even secular programs, or not quite so secular as we think, but like 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, these kind of things all talk about a higher power, mm-hmm. right? And they're basically Christian-focused, even though there's a lot of non-Christians that go through this program. But understanding that there is a God who loves us, and even in our suffering, if we are always tuned in to that, that gives meaning to our suffering, even in the long suffering. And it's not that God is failing you, or if he's turned his back on you. It's like, why are you letting me linger in this? I don't want to linger in this. I really want to be out of this. I want to be that little bug that walks away from the fire to where it's like, oh, it's nice and comfortable over here. And that's not necessarily going to be.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it goes back to a theme that we talked about a lot earlier this year, which is trusting the goodness of God's permissive will. You know, trusting that even if we can't see goodness in what he's permitting around us, trusting that he's always at work for our good. Even if none of it right now makes sense, making the choice to cross over that the chasm of that pain, those fears, those insecurities, that suffering, to say, I'm going to trust that on the other side of this is goodness, as goodness itself, as God, and that I can grow in union, a more intimate union with God by making that act of trust and making the choice to trust that, you know, basically what he's doing, I think, is he's removing conditions from our love. We go to the confessional, we seek unconditional love from him. We don't expect to get kicked out by the priest because our sins are too big, right? Well, how can we return his unconditional love with our own unconditional love? Well, it's allowing him, permitting him to remove conditions from our love so that we can say, Lord, I love you. Yes, even if this happens, and even if this happens, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in your goodness. And I'm going to close also to remind, close here with a throwback to Bishop Barron. This was back when he was Father Robert Barron, when he did his Catholicism documentary and he broke down the Beatitudes. And when he got to the Beatitude of Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, he had a beautiful breakdown of that Beatitude where he said, blessed are you who are not addicted to good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And because he said that basically we live in a culture right now where if I don't feel good, I have to fix it either by something I do or some medicine that I'll take. I have to fix that. I have to feel good. And if I'm not feeling good, there is no good, right? And God, he created us in our personhood where our emotional life is a big part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. Our emotional engagement of the world is a part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. And the emotional reality of what we're experiencing, it's a part of what we're experiencing, but it's not all of it. And so keeping it in proper balance and making the choice to not be addicted to good feelings and making the choice to say, I'm going to place my trust in you, even when my emotions are all over the place, you know,
yeah.
That is a path to growth. And there is even if the pain still stands and the painful circumstances remain and remain for a very long time, there is a resurrection that can come from giving our yes to that trust, because it allows us to grow in peace through that trust. Because ultimately what we're saying is, I don't have to have the big picture. I don't have to understand how this all makes sense. I just know that I'm loved and I love you.
See, I think you just used one key word there. You used the word understand, and that's something that we can probably lay back on and go, you know, this is one way to deal with long suffering, is to recognize that you don't understand. You don't understand why this has to happen. You don't understand why it has to happen for so long. You don't know, right? But really, there's something to add to that. I don't understand now. Right, but you've got to have faith You've got to trust, and you, because you mentioned trust as well, you've got to have faith and you've got to trust in God that somehow, some way, maybe someday, hopefully soon, but it may not be ever soon, I'm going to understand what this meant and why this happened. And you're going to realize that this was for the good, right, overall, in a big picture view, either for me or for someone else or for the whole world. And but just, it's okay not to understand right now.
I think, well, to not just, to me, not just trust, but you referenced Saint Monica a minute ago.
Or you did, yes.
Yeah, and well, both of you, and what she trusted, but also she kept turning. I think what happens is we get discouraged as we're going through that, and the key is you have to keep turning to God, keep taking it to God.
100% right.
Which is part of trust.
Yeah. Oh, you, yeah. That's exactly
because
as soon as you
take it to God, man, it's hard to trust, man.
Yeah, well, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the suffering is real.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and it tears us up. But this turn, the idea of turning to God,
yeah.
You just think about, you've got to have the heart of the prodigal son, right, at the point where he was farthest from his father.
But also, St. Monica, did she even see Augustine finally convert, finally be won over?
I don't know the whole,
I don't remember that story. Do you remember that, Sam?
I'm not, actually.
Okay, well, we should study that.
We should look at that because, well, again, the desire, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because she knows now, right? Yeah. You know, in the heavenly realm, you know these things. And I guess that's more to the point. Maybe it's better if I don't know whether St. Monica saw the realization of her prayers and that her son would be a saint, mm-hmm. right? And a bishop and all these things. Maybe it's better we don't know that, because that's the thing is, that's the antithesis to the long suffering, right? That's the like, okay, you made it, you finally got here, like, you know, are we there yet, Dad? No, we're not there yet. It seems like this journey is forever. And so really staying close to the Lord and staying faithful to the Lord is what's most important in all these things, and not, again, praying for a quick resolution. I mean, we can pray for that, because that is part of us, we need to have relief, but I think we need to have faith more. And you, Tom, you mentioned something what you just said there. By the way, that's the longest you've ever talked on this program, and I'm super excited. I'm pumped. We're going to give you the last 8 minutes and 39 seconds. You're going to get an extra donut. But you mentioned
I'm the comedy relief man. You know you were good.
You were good. I'm glad you. But I'm glad you said what you said, because you talked about discouragement. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize, but discouragement is something that we all experience. This discouragement can lead to, you know, depression.
Hopelessness.
It can lead to except...
I know you're not supposed to go there, but it can lead to that.
I know, and we have to watch that it doesn't, because a lot of people don't realize that despair is actually a sin. It's called the sin of despair. If you look in the catechism, you realize it's actually a sin, because that is hopelessness.
Right.
Basically, what you're saying is, even God can't fix this.
Right.
This is so bad. And I prayed. I tried praying, and it didn't work.
And you give up on God.
That's right. And you end up giving up on God, and you start thinking that, like, you start believing God doesn't exist, or mm-hmm. God doesn't love you, or God doesn't care. And it's like, well, that's the sin of despair. Mm-hmm. Now, and we get there from those steps that start with discouragement. They start with suffering, leads to discouragement, leads to depression, right? This cloud over our heads, and then, yeah, there's no God. You know, and that's a terrible place to be.
Right.
It's interesting you bring up discouragement. One of the coolest things I've ever heard said about discouragement was from a priest who was an expert in spiritual warfare. I forgot who it was, but this was like over a decade ago. And he said that the spirit of discouragement is very different from all the other spirits that are out there, because most evil spirits, when they want to attack you, they're going to attack through find a back door, they'll sneak their way in, they'll slowly build a presence in your life and eat away at the truth that's in your heart. He's like, discouragement makes a frontal attack. It makes a frontal attack and says, you don't deserve that gospel joy.
Yeah,
you know, and he's like, we have to, because discouragement comes in the form of a frontal attack, we have to be on the defensive always against the spirit of discouragement and just say, at the end of the day, it's not a matter of whether I deserve this gospel joy. It's been given to me. You know, I have been loved into existence, and I know who I am by his grace. and he is my joy, regardless of the circumstances, you know, that I might find myself in. Ultimately, he's bigger than them. He's God.
Right. So let's turn the page just a little bit on this, and there might be someone listening right now who's going through some long suffering, who's experiencing something. Maybe it's a child living a lifestyle that they know is outside the realm of what God has designed us for. Maybe it's a terrible diagnosis for health, for themselves, or for a loved one. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, you just need to trust in God. You know, when you say things like that, and you need to pray more and you need to trust in God, go buy a statue of the Pietà, right, and put it in your house and start looking at it. And what are there some practical things we can help people with in terms of what do you do? What do you do when you're experiencing long suffering?
Well, I think one thing that comes to mind is allowing ourselves, and I don't think this is purely symbolic, allowing ourselves to receive Jesus on the cross in that moment with us in our sufferings. And when I say it's not only, you know, because a lot of times, now what I'm about to say is speculative theology, but I think it's well grounded, and I think it's helpful for somebody who's enduring the sort of thing that you're describing. When I say,
if you hear a loud buzz, it's the sensors.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, they press the button.
So, but here's where the speculation is. So we know our Lord was on the cross for 3 hours. Okay, so for us, we think of 3 hours, we think from noon to 3 p.m., we've all experienced that, right? And of course, it feels a lot longer while you're suffering, so that in itself stretches out that time quite a lot. But our Lord had the beatific vision, and we're not in a position to know what it, for a divine person who took on human nature, who has the beatific vision, what that actually means. I mean, to put it in perspective, I've heard some people say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but like at the Transfiguration, maybe he was actually talking to Elijah and Moses when Moses was in his time and Elijah was in his time,
right,
and the apostles were seeing him there in that moment accessing the beatific vision, right? And God exists in the simultaneity of eternity. So what I'm saying here is Christ on the cross, it is completely plausible based on the fact that he had the beatific vision that God exists in the simultaneity of eternity, that he, while on the cross, is looking upon all of salvation history, mm-hmm, not just at the people who are attacking him, not just the people who are hating him, crucifying, but looking upon all of salvation history, and is looking upon you. And if you look upon him, just know that as you suffer, Christ suffers with you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, you are right, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want to be
practical.
Be careful, practical, because I'm thinking, you just said all these high, lofty theological,
sure,
things.
And, you just said simultaneity.
Yeah,
simultaneity.
I don't even know how to spell,
baby,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in long suffering.
I think from a practical standpoint, you have to, this is just from my experience, you have to find someone to pray for, someone, you know, to forgive, and you have to do it constantly. It's,
yes,
all day long.
No, yes, that's good. That's good.
Literally pray a Hail Mary for somebody all day long.
Right, so that,
or, and all
in
those
the
individuals, right, all those individuals
find,
can change.
Find me, yeah, make an offering of that pain.
Right.
Anchored in love. Somebody, something that you love.
Yeah.
And you can find union with our Lord in that love.
So other simple things you can do, I think. Because to me, I'm a simple man, and I like to start with simple things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start with this image of the Transfiguration, like the last scene in Star Wars, you know, Empire Strikes Back, and there's Yoda, and there's like, and I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that, like, it's hard for me to grapple with that kind of,
sure,
complexity, the supernatural beauty of that. Sometimes it's like, okay, we've been given the gifts of like a little simple crucifix. Carry one in your pocket. Be close to Jesus in his suffering, and his suffering will be close to you, and you're feeling the suffering, but then also know there's a resurrection on the other end of that,
right?
And that's one thing. But the other thing is we have such an armament, such a tool chest in the Catholic Church with our sacraments. Take advantage of the sacraments that are given to us. Go to Mass. When you start to feel the despair, when you start to feel that kick in, you know, if it's discouragement, go to Mass and realize we don't just believe things about the Eucharist that are just these lofty goals, like, I sure do wish I could have some of that grace. You can. Mm-hmm. Right? You can. So go to confession, be in a state of grace to receive the grace of the sacraments, of especially of Holy Communion. This is something that, you know, give us this day our daily bread. This is what we need. And this is the best way, I think, supernaturally to take these steps. And I may be kidding a little bit, but go buy a statue of the Pietà and imagine the Blessed Mother holding her dying, bleeding son, you know, in her arms, and realize that this is something that I think all of us are called to do and called to follow. And realize that there is healing in all that the Lord offers us in our Catholic faith.
And if you find yourself crying out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Then I would encourage you to allow yourself to realize that it is Christ himself who is yelling that out within you to our Heavenly Father. And you're in deeper union with him than you might realize.
And he wasn't yelling it in exasperation. He was actually quoting a psalm, right, from the Old Testament. And basically, he was basically calling out he was working out the plan of salvation, living it out, or rather dying it out, mm-hmm. right? And he was announcing to the world, he is the Savior. He is saving the world. This is the act, right? And so we can relish in those things, and sometimes we need to call out, you know, why have you forsaken me? Only to be able to hear the answer of consolation, the answer of grace, the answer of love, and the answer that you are not alone. How beautiful it is to know that our Lord loves us so much and desires the best for us, if only we would open our hearts to receive it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.